Jeff prayed that our study in God's Word would help direct our lives, and certainly Exodus 20, the record of the Ten Commandments, is a great foundation upon which to build. It is true that this was part of the covenant law for the nation of Israel, but nine of these commandments were not unique to the nation of Israel. And the one that we're looking at today was in place from the beginning of the existence of parents and children upon the earth. And it's ever expected between parents and children. And so we're looking at Exodus chapter 20. And if you look down at verse 12, here's commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother. When it was given by Moses, the nation of Israel were on the verge of going into a land that God had promised to their fathers, the land of Canaan. The rest of the verse has to do with that promise that they would go into that land, and if they would observe this commandment, it would affect their longevity in the land. And so that had a promise to that particular nation. But it's that first part of that that's always been true, and we'll see that when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, that the Apostle Paul reminded Christians of that responsibility to honor your father and mother. Now, the way that this is worded, honor your father and mother, it looks like it's addressed to the children. And it is. And we'll see a little bit later in our study that even if they are 50 years old, there are responsibilities to honor your father and mother. And we'll see that this responsibility, that this commandment, involves three different things. One, respect. Two, obedience. And three, provision. We'll see verses that teach us those very things. So honor your father and mother. But this begins when children are young. So if it begins when children are young, when they're children back at home under the dominion of the parents, while the command is addressed to children, whose responsibility is it to teach the children to honor your father and mother? Would it not be those Israelite parents to teach their children to honor father and mother? And so, this commandment number 5 is followed by the other commandments, beginning in verse 13 on through 17. So this middle commandment, number 5, is founded on the first 4, which we'll look at more in just a little bit. That is, respect and reverence for the God that brought them out of Egypt, the God of the Exodus. Todd just taught a series on the resurrection, and he talked about the mountaintops of faith, one of which is the creation, appealed to throughout Scripture as a foundation for faith. Second is the Exodus. The third is the resurrection, which he focused on. But the Exodus became a foundation for faith in the one true living God. And so when you start the Ten Commandments in verse 2, he said, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This would be very fresh on this nation's minds because Moses is preaching this sermon in the plains of Moab. How long before this had this event happened? How long before?
Steve, you said the plains of Moab. Did you mean at Sinai? Here in Exodus 20?
Huh?
You said the plains of Moab.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm thinking of Deuteronomy. So this is in actually around Mount Sinai. Thank you, Rocky. That's even better. I'm thinking of when it was repeated in Deuteronomy 5. So, good observation, Rocky Mate. So when he says this, how fresh is it? That even makes it more intense. How fresh is it? Yeah, it just happened. They just came out of Exodus. They're in that third month of the Exodus, aren't they, when they went to Mount Sinai? And so, I brought you out. I'm the one that delivered you from the oppression of Pharaoh. Here's my commandments. I'm the God of your deliverance. I'm your helper. I'm the one that you depend on and you will have to depend upon to get to the land of promise. And here are the commandments. And so, it's a very objective appeal. It's not just based on feeling. I brought you out. I demonstrated my power. I demonstrated that Moses is my prophet, and now here are my commandments. And so, he starts out with these four commandments. You shall have no other gods. Verse 3, number 1, you will not make yourself any idols, graven images. Number 2, number 3, you don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you make an oath in His name, you better keep it. And number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because it was a commemoration of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. And so, then you come to number 5. And we're going to see when we look at some of these statements to children and their responsibility continues to hearken back to this respect and reverence for God. We have young people in our class today, and I want to stress this point because it's so important. Your respect, your honoring your mother and father is not simply based on, I love them. It's not simply based on generation. It's based upon your respect for Almighty God. And you young people, listen to me. You're going to give an account before God, the God of heaven, as to whether or not you honor your mother and father. But as we said, it's not limited to young people. We'll talk about some of these other responsibilities. Every one of us will. And so that's important to see. So, number 5, but it then, while it's based on the first 4, it sets a foundation for the last ones, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Let's note that. The next one is, you shall not murder. Not to murder is based on a respect for human life. If back when those children are at home, they are trained to honor their parents' position and authority. They're not allowed to strike them. They're not allowed to curse them. They're to respect their parents' person. The foundation is laid when they're 2 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, so that when they get older and they don't like what the boss says, they don't like what their mate says, they're not at liberty to lash out in revenge and to murder. They've been taught to respect their parents' life and person back when they were young, even if they did not like the laws that their parents made for them. And so honor your father and mother. If children are taught that young, it's laying the foundation for you shall not murder. You take the next one, you shall not commit adultery. Here is a violation of the moral responsibilities that we have before God. Back when the children are in the home, if they observe a mother and father who are loyal to one another in their words and in their deeds, there's no talk of, there's no participation in those things that in any way jeopardize the relationship. And they're taught the loyalty and the commitment between a husband and wife. Then as those children get older and they get to be 15 or 18 or 25 or 30, they understand the idea of loyalty and commitment. They're not free to go satisfy their passion in somebody else. But the foundation for you shall not commit adultery is back here in honoring your father and mother. Honor their loyalty. Honor their moral purity. I feel sorry for young people that don't have that background. as they grow up. And I respect those who become Christians and respect God's laws. But what a great foundation God intended if they're taught to honor their mother and father and their moral purity. You have the next one, you shall not steal. You shall not steal implies respect for other people's property. Okay, so they're back in the home. Honor your mother and father. That's not yours. Keep your hands off of it. That belongs to your mother and daddy. Respect other people's property. Honor your mother and father involves respecting their property. If they're taught that when they're 3 and 6 and 8 and 15, then when they're 25 and they see something somebody wants, they don't go steal it. They've been taught to respect other people's property. The foundation was laid back in the home. Honor your father and mother. Honor their property. You shall not bear false witness. This is respect for human justice. Children get mad in the home. They may say something to their parents like, "You're mean," which should never be allowed. They should have the kind of discipline that they'll never want to say it again. Or, "You hate me." That is slander. That is bearing false witness. Parents shouldn't allow it. Why? Honor your father and mother will not allow it. That's why. And if they're taught when they're young to respect human justice, regardless if you're mad or you don't like it or you're upset, you respect human justice. Now when they're 18 or 25 and somebody says something they don't like, something goes bad at school or at work, they don't lash out bearing false witness because they've been taught to honor their mother and father and thus respect for human justice. And then you shall not covet. Here's respect for human individuality. Mother and father have worked 20, 30, 40 years to get where they're at. They have accumulated. They've suffered through bad times. Because mother and daddy has it doesn't mean you can have it. You don't necessarily have the privileges mother and daddy has. And if the kid is 6 and they've got a 16-year-old, it doesn't mean the parents teach them back in the home that the 6-year-old doesn't necessarily have the privileges of the 16-year-old. You honor human individuality. If they're taught that back in the home, then when they get older and 20 and the Joneses get a new car, they don't necessarily think they've got to have a new car. You shall not covet. So you can see that God in His love for the family has laid in this fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, a foundation that will affect our families for the future. What a tremendous foundation for us all. Let's look at Exodus 20. Well, we've looked at this particular section. Let's look at Leviticus 19. These verses I have under 1A on your lesson. Look at Leviticus 19. So in Exodus 20, we've observed that this commandment is founded on the first four, and you're going to see in these specific commandments a continual emphasis on that as Moses gives the law to these people. All right, so they're at Mount Sinai, and all through the book of Leviticus up to Numbers 10, they're at Mount Sinai, and here's the law to the Levites. Now, the Levites are certainly the priestly tribe, but they're also to be the teachers of the people, are they not? And so here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged." Would that apply to parents? Sure. Do they have to be gray-headed? No. They may not have any hair. The point is age. It's respect for age. Children, if they're taught to honor their mother and father when they're young, they can't talk to mom and dad like they talk to their peers. And they shouldn't be allowed to. I know it's not our custom for children to rise when older people enter the room. In some cultures, it still is a custom. Not a bad one either. But there's nothing wrong with children being taught to respect age. Those of you who heard me teach on the family before may remember me using this illustration when my boys were home. If I came in the room, they were in my chair, guess what? They got up. I'm not ashamed of that. And so, well, don't they have as much a right? No, they don't. No, they don't. And if somebody older than me came in the room, it's only right that I'd offer them the good chair. Respect for age. But look at this verse, 32. What is the confirmation? What is the foundation for this? Because some guy named Moses wrote it? What's the last part of the verse? I am the Lord. What's different about the word Lord in your text? All caps. What does that mean?
Jehovah.
Jehovah. I'm the God of the Exodus. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm telling you, respect age. So it's not whether you like it or live in America. Not that. It's Jehovah God expected respect for age. Look at Proverbs 23. So here we're talking about honoring father and mother and some of the specifics it entails. Verse 22, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. Despise is not to show regard for. It's the opposite of honor. We'll read a verse in a moment about mocking and scorning your parents. But he says, you shall not despise your mother. Buy truth and do not sell it. Obviously, this is written in the context of having godly parents. Parents who understand God and truth. Not everybody had that privilege. But if you have parents who love God, young people, they have some wisdom for you. They have some riches for you. Respect it. You may not agree. You may not understand. But look at the counsel. Honoring your father and mother. Keep your mouth shut and listen for a little bit. Listen to your father and mother. Verse 23, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. If you have godly parents, their greatest joy is that their child grows up with godly wisdom. Not make $200,000 a year. That's not what godly parents brings joy to them. That's fine if they do. Or if they're only making $30,000 a year, it's have they gained some moral and spiritual wisdom. You want to make your parents rejoice? That's what will do it. It can begin by sitting and listening to mom and dad. So look at Ephesians 6:1. What we're looking at, you notice this question is why? Why are these things something that every parent and every young person should pay attention to? Certainly not because of me. We're looking at the reasons that are given in the text. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. Here Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians. Obviously, this letter is read in the congregation. They didn't have mimeographs or copiers. So the letter would come, they'd get together, and the letter would be read. In that audience would be children. Evidently, in view with Paul, are children who are old enough to understand something about a relationship to the Lord. Obey your children in connection with the Lord. We have young people in our class today. Some of you have obeyed the gospel, some of you haven't. One thing is certain. When you obey the gospel, it doesn't relieve the responsibility to obey your parents. It just makes it more emphatic. You ought to do it because you respect the Lord. You had the obligation before you became a Christian. But becoming a Christian simply makes these obligations more emphatic. Now, what is the reason given in verse 1 you ought to do it? It's right. It's just the right thing to do. Period. Who said? God did. That's it. You know, it's not a matter you think you know more than your parents. Most young people think they do. They don't. It's not the fact that you can work the digital devices and they can't, so that makes you smarter. It's not that. It's not that you can run faster or that you're stronger. Maybe they're older and they don't have the strength and agility they used to have. The reason you do it is one reason. This is right. Look what verse he quotes in the next verse. Where does he go to? Exodus 20. Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So now I know that honoring is more than saying sir and ma'am. That's a good practice. Saying sir and ma'am. Back when my children were little, again, this is, I know some of you heard me teach this before, so this is nothing new to you. My wife thought that we ought to teach our children to do that. Nah, I thought, not that important, but I agreed with her to do that. I'm thankful I did. I think she was right. It's just a matter of showing respect. And so, whether you agree or disagree with that particular point, the fact is, honor involves certainly respect. But it's more than that. I've seen young people who say, I love my mother and daddy. They may say sir and ma'am, but they don't do what they say. Obey your parents is involved. Look at Romans 1. How serious is this? If a person pulls out a gun in an assembly like this and kills 20 people, like just recently happened, what's his destiny? Where's he going to spend eternity? Pretty clear, isn't it? The murderer. Oh, man, that's terrible. Look at Romans 1. Verse 29 talked about murder. Full of envy, murder. And down at verse 32, it says, those who practice these things are worthy of death. But look again at verse 30. What's the last thing in verse 30? Disobedient to parents. Who made this list? The Apostle Paul. You say, it's just his culture. But how did he start this letter in chapter 1 and verse 1? Bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle. Ambassador of the King, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Paul and his culture. This is pretty serious business. You want to be a good parent? I love my kids. I want to provide their clothes. I want to give them good schooling. I want them to be able to be successful in life. You want to be a good parent? Teach them to obey their parents. That's your job. And so, this is the children's responsibility. Look at Colossians 3:20. So, he wrote to Ephesus. He writes to Ephesians. Both these churches had a background in paganism. And yet, that doesn't make any difference. Their culture doesn't change God's requirements and expectations. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. They had the duty to do that before they knew anything about Jesus. But being a Christian makes it more emphatic. I want to do the will of God. That's what Jesus Christ wants me to do. And so, sometimes we got this being a Christian over here in one corner and these kind of things over in some other corner as if they're not connected, and they are connected. So, yes. Excellent observation. Lil commented that one of the ways we can teach them to honor their mother and father is how we treat our mother and father. That's an excellent observation. It certainly is. So that's a good comment. Appreciate that, Lil. So we talk of here on B, how is this honor shown? Let's look at some specific passages about that. Look over to Exodus chapter 21. Verse 15. Imagine if this law was in place today. Who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Let me ask you something. If you're an Israelite parent, And Moses gives this law. And you know that you've got this sweet little boy here, he's 3 years old. But you know that, say, in 15 years, we'll just take a number, say he's going to be 18. He's going to be responsible. And in 15 years, if this boy is rebellious and slaps his mother or dad, hits them, he can be taken to the elders of the city, and he can be stoned to death. Stoned to death. What would you do with that three-year-old when he strikes out at mother and dad? Would you permit it? Would you laugh at it? Would you think it's funny?
Not if you love them.
Not if you love them. And if you wanted to save them when they're 18, you'll start back here when they're 2 and 3 or whatever age, 1 or whatever it is. But you can see that this is a specific of honoring your mother and father. You shall not strike your mother and father. Look at verse 17. He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. We talk about cussing. Cussing and cursing are a little different. We use the word cuss to talk about words that are profane, ugly, maybe just not appropriate. Cursing may include cussing, but it may include language that would not fall in the category of cussing. Because this word had to do with wishing evil on somebody. You may use good English and curse somebody. And so, here's this 6-year-old kid. He's mad at mom and dad. Well, I wish you were dead. What do you do? Well, he's not the 6. He who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. Not a 6-year-old, but you better train them so when they're 16 years old, they don't do it. Don't permit that kind of stuff. I hate you. You're mean. All that kind of stuff. No room for that. Children should not be permitted to that. And young people in this class, if you have parents who will not permit it, you think they're hard, I'll tell you what they are. It's like John said, they love you. That's what they are. They've got some wisdom. And you need to thank God for them. We've already looked at Leviticus 19:32. I have that on your lesson here. About rising up before the gray-headed, that is showing respect for age. And that ought to be done. There's a different way that young people should learn to treat and speak to. You know, sometimes young people won't even return a greeting. And parents permit it. Do you feel like it's disrespectful if you... We were just on this little trip. We were in this hotel. And there's this lady that takes care of the kitchen stuff, coffee and that kind of stuff. You talk to her, she wouldn't even look at you. Never give you a greeting. Is that respectful? Regardless of your age. What if it's a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old or 12-year-old? And they won't even respond. Should parents permit that? And so, showing respect for age. Look at Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, the young eagles shall eat it. How do you mock somebody? You may imitate them, but in derision. Scorn's a stronger word. You may say disrespectful things about them. So, young people, you may get mad at your mother and dad and go in the other room and mock them in derision. Remember this verse. Maybe they don't see you, but there's an all-seeing eye that does see you. And they should not be allowed. And you know, sometimes parents are talking to their kids, and you can tell they're just waiting on you to get through. They're rolling their eyes and looking there. Should we allow that? Is that not the precursor to this very thing? Mocking, scorning their parents. The Word of God teaches that is not only unwise, but it's certainly unacceptable. Godly parents, godly children. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. All right, we've seen that already, that honor involves respect. Respect for age, respect for wisdom, respect for person, respect for morality, those kind of things. We've already seen that Paul himself made the connection between honoring and obeying in Ephesians 6. Our Lord Himself, who was there when these laws were given in Exodus 20, shows an expansion of what honoring father and mother entails here in Matthew chapter 15. God said, saying to the religious leaders of His day, honor your father and mother. There's our verse from Exodus 20. And then He connects another verse with it. Not there, but somewhere else, but He puts the two together to show the penalty. And he who speaks evil of father and mother will be put to death. That's that other verse we read. Note how He put those together. Jesus put them together. So here's the penalty for failure to honor. It also shows that speaking evil of father and mother is not honoring them. We made that point when we read that verse. And here Jesus puts them together. But then note, He said, but you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. Doesn't that sound great? Mom and Dad, I'd like to help you, but I'm going to go put it in the treasury. I'm going to give that to the Lord. That sounds good. Not sure they even did that. But rather that was an excuse to get out of their responsibility. But even if they did, Jesus says that does not excuse you from your responsibility to take care of your mother and daddy. Whatever I would have given you has been given to the Lord, and He's not to honor. See, honor involves provision, caring for your mother and father. And Jesus said, by this you've invalidated the Word of God for the sake of your tradition. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his own household. He'd been talking about widows. He said he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. How can you be worse than an unbeliever? An unbeliever is going to die and go to hell.
Unbelievers take care of their parents.
That's right. Unbelievers understand the responsibility to take care of their mother and daddy. And shame on you if you claim to be a Christian. You don't take care of that responsibility. So, you can see that this is involved in honor. Back in verse 4, must learn to practice piety or reverence or honor. That involves taking care of them. Now, we live in a little different society because there's pensions that are sometimes very liberal to take care of parents when they're old. They have plenty from their pension. Their 401k, their retirement funds. We live in a society where there's Medicare. and other health care programs that help parents. But are there other needs parents may have besides financial and medical? How about emotional support? About just showing some care and attention? You'll talk to people who say, I got mad at my mom and dad and I hadn't talked to them in 5 years. Shame on you. Honor your mother and father. The God of heaven who made mothers and fathers, made them able to procreate, teaching children what their responsibility is. This commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. Somebody says, yeah, but my father and mother sometimes make mistakes. And it's pretty obvious. Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. There's not a father and mother who doesn't make mistakes. And the God of heaven who made this law knew that when he made it. But look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good. In other words, God always disciplines us for our good. Our parents tried to. They did the best they could, but they may not have always succeeded. But that is no excuse for not respecting them anyway. And we as parents should not be intimidated by the fact we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't know what to do. And there's nothing wrong with going back to your child and saying, I am sorry. Maybe you spanked them and you realize later, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe you withheld something as a punishment and you realize you made a mistake. Go back and just be upfront. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But still expect them to respect you. Because it's God's plan. That's why. So yeah, parents are imperfect. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's a young man in his 30s. He's a gospel preacher in Ephesus. Paul's talking to him about how he's to carry out his duties, one of which is to reprove or to rebuke. He says, the New American says, you shall not sharply rebuke. I think the King James says you're not to rebuke, but it's not just any rebuke. And the word carries the idea of sharp rebuke. You shall not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. Doesn't that show that even if mother and father are wrong, there's a way to rebuke respectfully for their age? Not to get in their face, not to shout and lift your voice. And parents should never, ever tolerate it. I don't care if they're 2 years old or 15 years old. Now, you'll note we have under D some limitations. For sake of time, we're not going to be able to read all of those verses. I will look at one or two just to illustrate. Look at 1 Kings 15:3. Here's Abijah, verse 1. He walked in all the sins of his father which he had committed before him. That good? He lived like his daddy. Talked like his daddy. Worshiped what his daddy worshiped. Boy, that's my son. Shameful. On contrast to that, however, if you look at First Kings chapter 22, verse 41, Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king. He walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing right the sight of the Lord. So he had a daddy who did right, and he followed in his steps. And that's a blessing when you've got a father who gives you some kind of a good example. But these other examples that I gave you, or did I put them on there? Maybe I didn't. In 2 Kings, there's two that really stand out. One is Hezekiah and one is Josiah. Thankfully, they didn't walk in the steps of their fathers. And they're two of the best kings of the southern kingdom. There's times when you got to say, Dad, I'm not going to live like you do. I'm not going to talk like you do. That may cause a break in the family. But I'm thankful to know people that have that kind of faith and courage, and some of them are sitting in this class today. And I appreciate their faith in God that caused them to put God before their mother and dad. Yes?
I know we're almost out of time. I don't know if you were going to address this or not, or if this comes, goes back more to the husband-wife relationship. But it can also be very difficult when, you know, one parent is seeing these things and knows these things. And then sometimes to the other parent, it comes off overbearing or mean. And what would you say is the best way to not cause a problem between a husband and wife relationship, but also to try to teach your children these, you know, when it's day in, day out, always, 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 you know, you come off that way. You come off as the mean one, the bad guy, you know.
I think my answer would be, if you do what God says, there's going to be a problem and you can't avoid it. Don't try to avoid it. It's just going to happen because the other mate doesn't respect God or His Word. You can't let the avoidance of difficulty cause you not to do what God says. It's a very common problem, very difficult problem, and you're limited as to what you can do. You are limited. No question about that. When your child gets to be 16 or 18 years old, you're going to be limited as to what you can do, even with two parents that are together. But you still try to do what you can. And I will say this, and I don't have it on this lesson. Maybe I have it on the last part of it. Don't be discouraged if you don't have a mate to help you. With your example and teaching, you still have the possible opportunity to guide your child in the right way. Who's the classic example of that?
Timothy.
We'll talk about Timothy. Daddy, evidently a pagan, not a believer, but he had a mother and a grandmother, and look what he became. And again, we have people in this class who are like that. And so don't let that discourage you. Just keep doing the right thing. Let me just say before I finish, you're familiar with Luke 14 and Matthew 10. As much as you're to honor father and mother, never, ever can they take precedence over your obligation to Jesus Christ. Never. And so if they ask you to do something that Jesus Christ would not allow you to do, like lie for them, for example, you cannot do that. In those cases, yes, disobey. Our time's up. Thank you for your attention. Lord willing, we'll pick up the second part of the lesson in our class on Wednesday night.